But he will. I'm gonna let him preach one night. I'm gonna turn him loose, and I'll probably have to chain him to the floor up here. But we'll do something. Matthew 24, if you got your Bible, and let's start off with verses 1-8. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." They were bragging on the temple, and he said, no, this ain't even going to be here long. And then, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers manners. And all these are the beginning of sorrows." Now you'll read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, skip down to verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Amen. Now we can come to church like we did this Sunday morning and forget about what's going on in the world and have a great time in the Lord. But when we leave out of here, the world's still the same. And there's no doubt from prophecy of many other scriptures, other than this too, that we're in the last days of the last days. Now, you must remember the last days started at the cross. And we've been getting closer to the end ever since. So we're 2,000 years closer than they were. So we're in the last of the last days. There's no doubt about it. And the way I look at it, this old world can't stand much more. I really believe that. I really believe, I know they've said that. And I know the world says, I know, I've heard that before, and y'all been saying that ever since it all began. But as children of God, we've got a little bit of the Spirit of God in us. We feel His presence. We feel His power. We've got the mind of God, and we read His book, and we see these things. We've been enlightened. We can understand spiritual things. And because of that, we can look around this old world, and we can say, this old world can't stand this much longer. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, why, preacher? Well, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Unlike this morning, I'll wait on you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I was preaching this standing at the door this morning while you're turned there. I was standing at the door, and people were shaking my hands. And there's a black sister lives up the road. She comes sometimes. She sits right over there, and as she was leaving out, she said, "I heard you talking about apologizing for getting out so late today." She said, "This ain't late for me. We never get out of church before 1 o'clock. Amen. She said, "I'm getting out early today." Amen. But you know, this old world is not friendly to the gospel. It's not friendly to the preaching of the gospel. And it's sad to say that's crept into the churches. You don't want to interrupt people's schedule. They'll get mad at you. But the reason is the God of this world is still alive and well. Now, I'm not talking about the God of heaven. Look at, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. "In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, this old world can't stand much more because the prince of this world, that old slewfoot, is still here and he's alive and well. He's not in hell and he's just as busy as ever. Amen? And he knows his time is short, so he's even busier. And then you don't have to turn there, but John in chapter 14, verse 30 says this, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Now this old world, every bit of trouble in this world is caused by the prince of this world, the god of this world, the old devil himself. You say, well, he ain't the god of this world. Yes, he is. He took Jesus up in the mountain, put him on the temple mount, and he said, look here, I'll give you all of this stuff. You know why? It belonged to him. Amen? It belonged to him. Now, that same devil is alive and well, working right now, and I just don't think this old world can take much more because he's doing a good job. He's not like Baptists. He don't lay out on Sunday night. He doesn't lay out on Wednesday night. He's busy 24/7. He's, like I used to say in Lancaster, he's wide open. And he's working. And he knows what he's doing. And he knows his time is short. And he hadn't changed his character one bit. He's still a liar. And he's still a killer. And he's still a deceiver. And he's doing it real good. If you don't believe it, look at the headlines. Listen to the news. In order to do anything right now, you got to fight. You got to fight. It doesn't matter whether you're the president or a congressman or a mayor or a pastor or a church member or mother, father, whatever you are. And this old world's gotten so bad that right is wrong and wrong is right, and it's a fight. If you don't believe it, open your mouth at work tomorrow and start talking about Jesus, much less the president. You'll be attacked. You'll be accused of everything. They'll say you're a bigot and you're a racist and you're homophobic and you're homogenous and you're pasteurized and you're I don't know what all the words are. Amen. But they'll accuse you of everything but being a child of God because the devil, he is stirring it up, buddy. Now, it used to be there was more of us than there were of them. But now, there's more of them than there are of us, right? And the old wicked one, he's outnumbered us. Now, I grew up in a country where about 10% didn't go to church. And I was part of that 10%. But now that I'm saved and now look around, I think it's about 10% go to church. That's the truth. And so the devil, because he's the god of this world, he's the prince of this world, I don't think this old world can stand much more. I mean, it's gotten so bad. Perverts galore. They're taking over. By the way, if you let your children and grandchildren be influenced by the entertainment industry, it's always been full of sodomites. The entertainment industry has always been full of sodomites. And here's what I tell them. Just because I like the way you sing don't mean I have to agree with your stupid lifestyle or your opinions. Amen? And I can just quit buying. I don't buy junk anyway. I couldn't even name one anymore. Amen? I've been watching TV finding them old movies. I watch black and white. But hey, let me tell you, he's still here. And when was the last time you heard a sermon exposing the devil? I know you didn't hear it on television. And I doubt if you heard one on much radio. Of course, we don't have much Christian radio around here. But I doubt if you've heard many expose him on radio. And it seems like everybody's forgotten that he's the destroyer. He's Apollyon. His job is to destroy the church of Jesus Christ and mankind. And he's doing a good job of what he does. Amen? You'd have to say he's faithful at what he does. Amen? And then I want you to turn to Matthew 13:22. Matthew 13:22, if you will. I want you to notice this. This old world can't take much more because of the god of this world. But look at Matthew 13:22, if you will. In verse 22, he says, and I've got to find it myself. In verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I don't think this world can stand much more because of the cares of this world. People are so wrapped up in pleasure and obtaining stuff that God means nothing anymore. I preached this morning on being faithful stewards with your finances, things like that. I thought I was going to get shot sitting right here in the church. Y'all just don't know how people look at you sometimes. And I thought, oh boy, I done said it now. But people are so in love with money, and they're so in love with the things of the world and the cares of this world. Faithfulness to God doesn't mean much to people anymore. Really? And if the pastor says anything, they get mad at him. It's hard to find a Sunday school teacher that'll be faithful. It's hard to find people to sing in the choir that'll be faithful. And I'm going to tell you something else. I just turned 65. Don't get excited. But I've been thinking more and more, where's the young men that used to come to church and get called into the ministry? Where are they? Where are they, Brother Billy? At times, I've had 5-6 young men tell me they wanted to preach the gospel, you know. Amen. Now they're gone. These guys, used to be all you had to do was open the door and start preaching, start winning people to Christ, and you'd end up having young men come in and get saved and surrender to preach. You don't see that anymore, hardly ever. And you know why? Because they're so wrapped up in the cares of the world, they don't want to be. To be a preacher or a pastor, they'd have to sacrifice something. I mean, the right kind. Now, they might go to the Elevation Devilation Church over there. They wouldn't have to sacrifice anything up there, you know. But nowadays, it's hard to find people that are not wrapped up in the cares of this world. Until they get sick and they're about to die, and then they call me. That's the truth. And the care of this world, it can't go on much like this much longer because people are so wrapped up in the things of this world. And then I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Turn over there if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want you to notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you will. Look at verse 31. 1 Corinthians 7, 31. Now, this old world can't go on much longer. That's my subject. And we see it coming. Jesus is coming. Any moment, He's going to show up. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 31, if you will. And they that use this world as not abusing it, look at this, the last part is what I wanted you to see. For the fashion of this world passeth away. Now, I know this old world ain't going to go on much longer because the fashion of this world, not just the dress, but the things that the world likes to do and the way they are, the fashion of this world is going to pass away. This can't be going on forever. And we'll watch the news and we'll open the newspaper and we'll see a magazine and we'll say, man, I never thought it would go that far. Do you know how hard it is to get people to dress right to go to church? And if they say anything, they get mad at you. Especially if it's a teenage girl, you'll have the whole family on you. Woo! I can't believe he said that. And do you know how hard it is to get people just to honor the Lord in the things they do? Not only the fashion of their clothes, but their lifestyle, fashion, how they live. They'll get mad at you. And I'm talking about church people. I'm talking about saved people. We'll get mad at you. And as we get closer and closer to the world, evil doesn't look as evil as it used to. I went to pastor school in 1990, and I heard Pastor Jack Hiles while I was there. And, of course, it was his church and his pastor school. But he said this. It was just all preachers and full-time Christian workers. There was about 7,500 of us. And he said this. He said, we know that the charismatic movement is wrong and it's worldly. We know their music is wrong and it's worldly. We know that. Would you agree with that? Yes, Some of you don't know the difference, but it's the truth. And we know it's... I get on that music. But we know all that's wrong, and we know that their style is wrong because it's so worldly. He said, but I got news for you. Where the charismatics are today, 20 years from now, every Southern Baptist church will be doing what they're doing today. And he said, you independent Baptists, don't get so excited, because 20 years later, every independent Baptist church will be doing what they did. And it's a downward spiral. And it's the fashion of this world, not only the look, but the sound and the activities. And boy, it's plummeting now. It's just going deeper and farther every day. And people like me and you, we look like dinosaurs. Yeah. Used to be you went to work, you'd say, well, that goes Church of God woman. We made fun of them. Used to be you go to work, you'd say, that goes Church of God man. We made fun of them. They believed in living holy lives and looking like it and acting like it. Amen? And now you can't find one in a Pentecostal or charismatic church. Used to be we go down the road, we said, there goes an independent Baptist right there. I can tell by the way he looks, I can tell by the way she dressed. Not anymore. Used to be you go in a church and you could say, this is a fundamental Baptist church. I can tell by the music, I can tell by the pastor, I can tell by the preaching and the praying and the praising. Not anymore. They fall into the fashion of the world. And I've had people tell me this. Well, preacher, if you don't change, you're going to lose them. I said, well, I'd rather lose them than lose him. The fashion of this world. And look, what they call church now, we used to call nightclubs when I was a teenager. Yeah. Well, preacher, you ought not say that. Well, hey, you don't remember when it was right. Us old people, we remember when it was right. We remember when you went to a Baptist church, you said, this is a Baptist church. I can tell by the hymns. I can tell by the pastor. I can tell by the choir. I can tell by what's going on in here. This is a Baptist church. And now I have to tell people, we're not interdenominational. And we're not non-denominational. And we're not charismatic. And we're not Pentecostal. I know I pick at it and people call us Baptist-costal. That's fine. But what they mean is we've got life. But we're Baptists. I told the woman the other day, I said, you should have read the sign when you come in. If it offended you, I'm sorry, but that's what we are, and we're not changing. See, it's Baptists. Now, this old fashion of this old world, that means the way it is, what they like, how they dress, how they behave, that's their fashion. You understand what I'm saying, son? You look good sitting up here on the front. Amen. You might be that young preacher I've been looking for to take my place. Amen. Amen. You don't ever know. Amen. He'd be a good one. Amen. 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 Because where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. Amen. Amen. He knows. He knows. First time I saw him, he almost run over me with a dirt bike. Yeah. Then he come back and almost did it again, didn't he? Yeah, you did. Out there on the reservation. Listen. Now, turn to Ephesians 2:2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. I want you to notice this. Now, this old world can't stand much more. And look, I've showed you the prince of this world, the cares of this world, the fashion of this world. Now, look at verse 2 in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of who? Disobedience. Now that's the children of this world. And we used to be those children. And God adopted us. Because we became obedient to the faith. We turned to Christ, believed on Him. He gave us the faith that we need. And now we try to obey Him because we love Him and we're going to heaven. And listen, watch out for the disobedient crowd. They're the children of this world. People that don't want anybody to tell them what to do. If you got a son that want anybody, don't want anybody to tell them what to do, I got a good answer for you. Marines. If they don't fix him, they'll kill him. I took a Presbyterian preacher and a Southern Baptist preacher with me to pastor school, the last one they had a few years ago. And I took both of them to the Sword of the Lord conference with me up in Winston-Salem. And that Presbyterian, he looked over at me. He said, I done figured out what y'all people are. They're pastor school. Because I'm talking about it's rowdy at pastor school. It's old-fashioned barnstorming, window rattling, shingle pulling, preaching, shouting, unashamed, independent Baptist, you know. And they're against everything. They're against spitting, you know. And hey, it's good. It's good. Some need people like that, amen? And he looked over at me and he said, I know what kind of crowd this is you belong to. I said, what's that? He said, this is the Marines of the Baptist. I said, amen. I said, amen. And then a few months later, I took him to the Sword Conference. He leaned over there to me between something. And he said, now I figure out what this crowd is you in. I said, what? He said, this is the Army of the Baptist. He said, y'all don't play. I said, amen, amen. But see, this world's full of disobedient people. And you used to be a child of the devil. You were disobedient too. And he saved you. He plucked you out of the flames, amen. And he gave you eternal life. And now you'll love him enough to obey him. And he said, if you love me, you will obey me. You don't have to browbeat somebody to do right if they love Jesus. They'll want to do right. I mean, you ain't got to write down rules and regulations for everything. Hey, if they're saved by the grace of God and he brought them out of disobedience into obedience, they want to please him. Don't you? Don't you want to please him? This world's full. I don't care where to go to church. Disobedience, disobedience. I don't care who their pastor is. Disobedience, disobedience. Now we all fall and we all sin and come short of the glory of God. We have failures in our life. But a failure is different than a disobedience. A disobedience is something you did on purpose. I don't care what he says. I don't care what mama says. I don't care what that preacher says. I don't care. I've had him tell me, I don't care what the Bible says. I was witnessing to a woman one day and she was telling me that she's been filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. And I said, well, that's not scriptural. And she said, well, I grew up in Church of God. That's what they taught us and that's what I'm going to believe. I said, what if I take the Bible and show you that it's not right? Yeah. And I showed her a few scriptures and then she said, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I experienced. That's disobedience. And boy, this crowd running churches on Sundays now, they'll say, I don't care what the Bible says. I know how I feel. I feel led. But we're not supposed to be disobedient. We're supposed to be obedient. Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And then we know this old world about to run out. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, turn over there if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm about through. Y'all believe that? No, I knew you wouldn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 18 and 19. And this is the good crowd. Think about on Sunday morning what that crowd thinks about me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 18 and 19. Let no man deceive himself. You can deceive yourself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in what? In this world, let him become a fool. In other words, let him forget everything he knows about this world. You see that? Yes. And look at this. Let him become a fool that he may be wise. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. Amen. But to this world, the wisdom of God is foolishness. See? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. This old world can't go on much more because of the wisdom of this world. They think they're smarter than God or anybody else. I'll give you a good example. Global warming is the most unwise, ignorant thing I've ever heard in my life.
Amen.
Climate change is real. One winter it might be colder than another winter. One winter it may be warmer than another winter. This summer looks like it's going to be a scorcher. Say amen right there. I like that. I like scorchers. I hate cold. But anyway, and I know you're going to suffer, brother, but you can suffer for Jesus and stay right over here anyway. And but the global warming. The ice caps are going to melt. We're all going to drown. The ocean is rising 2 inches a year. Well, when it rises over here on this continent 2 inches, it went down on that continent 2 inches, you big dummy. I'll give you good proof of it. My wife and my family went to Edisto Island. At Edisto Island, which is a beautiful place you'll go, very family friendly. There ain't no drinking out in public and all that stuff. I've seen them take drinking away from people while they're sitting on the beach. And but there's a place there. It was an old plantation. The house is not there anymore. The foundation is, but behind it, there's like a bay, kind of like where the water comes in off the ocean, you know. Botany Bay, that's the name of it. Thank you. Thank you. That's why I got you to help me. And Botany Bay, that's what it's called. And you can go down there and there's a beach on it and it's covered with more shells than ever. You can't walk for the shells. And they're bigger than your fist. And the reason they stay there is there's a guard there. You're not allowed to take them. You don't see this stuff on the beach no more. There's so many of them. But the water's beginning to creep in and the trees are dying. And it's just creeping in and creeping, and every year it gets a little farther in. And the ranger said this. He said, this has been happening for years, and eventually the beach is going to disappear, and you'll just have water up in those woods, and it's killing the trees. As you can already see, it does at high tide. He said, but the good news is, look out yonder. And he pointed out there, and there's a little old mound of dirt with a little stick sticking up in it. He said, that's a new island. He said, that water's coming in at high tide. When it goes out, it takes the beach with it and it's piling it up out there, making a new island. And that's how God works. Amen? You say the polar ice caps are melting. There's enough ice up there. And why? 2 degrees! Well, wait a minute. 50 degrees below zero at the polar ice cap, and -2 is 48 degrees below zero. How much ice melted? But these people claim to be wise. And they make a living off of this stuff. They're lying. They know they're lying. It's not scientific truth. Then you got another crowd, and they're running around and said, look, we need to help these little boys and girls because they're confused, and you got this little girl in a girl's body, but she's really a boy, and we need to help her. And so what we're going to do, we're going to get government money, and we're going to change her. Well, you can't change a human body like that. You can mutilate it. And over, I'm reading more and more where these people who thought they were in the wrong body got the sexual change surgery and then later on got saved. And they admitted and said, I knew I wasn't a girl. I knew I wasn't a boy. I was confused. And thank God somebody came along and helped me because the psychiatrist told me I was a boy and the doctor told me I was a boy. But I was a girl and a boy in that body. And thank God that he saved me and straightened out and go back and get changed back. Somebody has to tell those kids that there's something wrong with them because there's not anything wrong with them, and they convince them they are. And you know why? The love of money is the root of all evil, and they're making money off these little old kids doing changes and medicines and all that stuff. Every little boy and girl growing up gets confused on what they are. By the way, they're confused on a lot of other things too. That's why God gave them mamas and daddies. But see, that's the wisdom of this world. Well, we're going to fix you because there's something wrong with you. No, you can't fix anybody. And the world looks at the wisdom of God. I told those kids this morning, I said, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. I said, then you read His words, get close to Him, you'll get wise. And look, all learning outside of that is going to drive you crazy because you don't have enough wisdom to handle it, and God wants to help you. So they confused little boys and girls, and they destroyed their lives. I pastored one little girl like that. I saw her at Walmart. She'd gotten hormone shots. She had started wearing men's clothes. Not a little girl. By then she was, you know, 20-something years old. And she got those hormones. She grew a beard. And she changed her name to a man's name. And when I saw her, I knew it was her. She looked awful, but I knew it was her. And she'd done strapped her breast down, you know, and she was wearing old baggy clothes and stuff. And I told her, I miss you. I love you. Praying for you. But see, this world's wisdom has messed that little girl's mind up. And the only thing that ever helped Pearl Hall Road would be the grace of God to break into that stuff and set her free. And when you talk like this about that, the worldly wise people will say you're ignorant and you're homophobic and you hate people and all that stuff. And it's just the opposite. We love them. And it's getting worse. The wisdom of this world is getting worse. And people using people. And then last but not least, Revelation 11:15. Y'all don't believe that, do you? Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now let me tell you something. The kingdom of this world is going to be conquered one day. He's coming back. And they can laugh at that if they want to. They make fun of it. They make movies to make fun of it. They can do that if they want to. Professors in colleges who think they're wise and they're fools. They teach children. By the way, you send your kid to a public college now, you're going to be that kid's in trouble. But they teach against Him coming, and boy, they'll just make fun of us. Well, we've heard this ever since the beginning. Where is He at? And I'll tell you where He's at. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, waiting for the Father to say, go get My children. And then He's going to come back, and when He comes back, He's going to come in all His glory, and He's not going to be a suffering servant, and He's not going to be a little helpless baby, and He's not going to be bruised and bleeding. He's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords, and He's coming back with a rod of iron, and we'll see who the fool was, and we'll see who the ignorant one was, and hey, we're going to roll with Him. And this old world can't take much more. And I can't tell you a day. He said, no man knows the day nor the hour. But I can tell you with a fact, by the Word of God, He's coming. And you know what we need to do? We need to get busy about the Father's business, because there's a lot of people not looking for Him. They're so tied up in this world, they don't know any better. You were, I was. And we need to get busy and warn people. We sing the song, send the light, send the light. Well, we need to be the light. And go out into a dark, dark world. I'm not going to look at that little old young they've confused and say, look, you're queer, you're a pervert. I'm going to look at them and say, look, you need some help. You need some help. I'm not looking at the one they've hooked on painkillers and say, look, you're a sorry, low-down bum. I'm going to look on and say, look, you need some help. I know how to get you some. I found a new program. They call it the One Step Program. Turn to Jesus. He'll set you free. He'll deliver you. I had a 50-something-year-old brother who was alcoholic since he was 13 years old. And that boy drank every day and went on drunks for months at a time till he couldn't hardly live no more. And when he couldn't get a drink, he'd go into DTs and he'd have hallucinations and be scared to death, run around the house seeing people after him and all that. When he couldn't get a drink, I've seen him drink rubbing alcohol and Sterno and everything else. But one day he walked in a church, and I heard it on tape. He walked into church and they preached Jesus and he accepted Christ, and immediately, no DTs, no withdrawal, he was saved and sure, and he never got bothered by it again. He never went to not one program except turning to Jesus. Now, I'm not against your program if it gets you to work and feed your youngins, but I'm saying if you want eternal life, you want real deliverance, you turn to Christ. He'll fix you. And if you're on heroin, you won't need methadone. He's got your methadone. And if you're drunk, he won't wean you off. He'll deliver you. You'll be all right. You'll be. If you're a sexual deviant, he'll deliver you. Come on, help me here. And he's coming. And I'd advise you to get ready. Because any day now, I'm going to get that Sunday crowd one morning. I'm going to get them. I'm going to find somebody who knows how to blow a trumpet. And I'm going to get to preaching like this, and I'm going to have somebody turn all the lights off, and I'm going to... And they're all going to think they got left behind. Amen. How can you laugh about that? Because I'm going. Well, how can you enjoy that? Because I'm not the ones left behind. Amen. I'm delivered. I'm going to heaven. I got the hammer down. I'm going as fast as I can go. Amen. Death don't scare me. This whole world scares me more than death does. I think as a church, we need to remind each other, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how sad it gets, no matter how rough it gets, Jesus is coming. He's going to right all the wrongs, and he's going to reward all the righteous, and he's going to punish the unrighteous. There's a payday coming, and it won't be long. Are you ready? I'm ready. Well, I wish he'd come tonight. Well, if he'd come right now, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we? Sitting in church. I don't know a better place you could take off from than church. Amen. Some of them at home watching television, trumpet that sound, they say, "Oh!" I know they're going first because the Bible said dead in Christ will rise first. But I'm ready. I'm excited about the whole thing. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you don't have a hard time. You don't know what I've had." Well, preacher, you ain't never been disappointed. You don't know what I've been. Well, you ain't never done that. You ain't never done that. Hey, look, you ain't special. Everybody's had hard times. Everybody's been disappointed. Everybody's been hurt. But guess what? The people and the things that cause that are not what we look to for deliverance or safety or love or peace or anything else. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So let them people go. Let those things go. Just let them go. Hit the reset button. Start over. Let's stand. Father, I don't know anybody's heart here but mine.